Russia is accused of blackmail by withdrawing from a grain export deal with Ukraine. Turkey and the United Nations are trying to salvage it. But how will this affect the global food crisis? And will countries that depend on shipments find enough food to eat? This is Inside Story. Welcome to the programme. I'm Sahil Rahman. This was hailed as a rare diplomatic breakthrough from Russia's war in Ukraine. Moscow and Kyiv had signed a UN and Turkey brokered deal to export grain safely through the Black Sea. The two nations were major suppliers of wheat, barley, corn and sunflower oil to lower and middle income countries before the war. But Russia has suspended its involvement. The Kremlin blamed drone attacks on its Black Sea fleet in Crimea for its decision and retaliated with more missile strikes on Kyiv. The UN, Turkey and Ukraine have now agreed to allow some of the grain vessels to leave through Turkish waters. Turkey says it's determined to keep the agreement alive, while Ukraine's president accuses Russia of blackmailing the world with hunger.
Russia is the only one to blame for the fact that food will now become more expensive from West Africa to East Asia. Russia is the only reason why people in particular in Ethiopia, Yemen or Somalia are left with catastrophic food shortages.
The landmark deal was signed in July to export grain and fertilizer from Ukrainian ports, which had been under Russian blockade. It was meant to ease the global food crisis caused by the conflict. The UN says more than 450 ships have left Ukrainian ports since early August. And about 9.3 million tonnes of food has been exported to regions around the world. Let's bring in our guests for this edition of Inside Story in Moscow, Andrei Balklanov, a former Russian ambassador to Saudi Arabia. In New York, Steve Matthews, Senior VP of Financial Services at Grow Intelligence, an analysis firm on agriculture, climate and the economy. And in Dnipro, in Ukraine, Marsha Belikova, a grain news and price reporter at Fast Markets AgriCensus. To all of our guests, thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Inside Story. Marsha, can I come to you in Ukraine and the statement, obviously by Moscow, that they're going to suspend their involvement in these grain shipments. How concerning is that news as Ukrainians hear it?
Hello. So, yeah, the news are really concerning. I can say that people were not expecting that something bad can happen because for the last 3 weeks, we already have seen a huge delays for the inspections for the vessels that come in and go in to Ukraine through Istanbul. And also there was some rumor that was not confirmed that from early November, the entrance can be closed just because they have to free the queue. And also Russian statements during the last 3 weeks were not really supporting their trade deal, the grain deal. So it was not really a big surprise, but still a surprise. And for now, we see that vessels live in Ukraine, the vessels that have been already loaded and waiting for inspection.
Sure, we'll get into more of this then, into the nuances of the language. Andrei Balklanov in Moscow, can I just bring you in here? So good to have you with us, joining us from Russia. As Marsha says, was it to be expected? Did you expect this scenario to unfold the way it did? Had the attacks not happened on Sevastopol at the weekend, would the grain shipments have continued?
When we have accomplished something and do something positive, after some several days, the negative results appear. We tried very hard to make a deal with the grain and to make this deal separate from the very tense situation in the Black Sea, but we failed because the this agreement was not accomplished 100%. It was accomplished only 50%. We gave way to the grain from the Ukrainian to go, and it went. But our grain was blocked from the very start. So from the very first day of the accomplishment of the of this transaction, only 50% it was more or less successful. Now it is blocked after the attack on our ships.
Okay, let's bring in Steve Matthews here in New York. And obviously we don't want to sort of make this too much of a political conversation, Steve. It really is about finance. It really is about grain and how we get grain around the world, considering what's going on in Ukraine. When these sorts of things happen, not only do speculators panic, the markets panic, the financials markets panic, the politicians start to panic. Where do we start to look at how nervous the markets are or the industry itself when it comes to dealing in the financial commodity that is grain, wheat and cornflour oil?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's exactly where to look. The price levels of these global commodities, and let's keep in mind, these are global commodities. The wheat market worldwide for export anyway is well over 100 million tons, 160 or so. And so the cutback here is very important at the margin, but it's not that big of a hit to the total export trade. The problem is the prices go up, and therefore, when this happens, therefore the people least able to pay have the biggest problems as a result.
And of course, Marsha, if I can come back to you in Dnipro. Obviously, ships in Sevastopol were targeted. However they were targeted and by whom has yet to be verified, I suppose, independently. Moscow has a point that it is concerned and it is angry about what has happened. Inevitably, it's worried about the ships it says were damaged. Those ships are supposed to be the very ships that protect the grain convoys, hence their suspension from the deal. Now, the politics aside, if they are ships that are supposed to be defending and looking after and accompanying the grain cargo out of the Black Sea, Moscow has a point.
No. You can easily see that from the map. If you see where is Crimea and where is Sevastopol port and where is the grain corridor, because right now you can go on some apps that show in the vessels track and you can see that it's far away from there. This is one point. But another point is that inside the agreement, there was nothing said about the Russian vessels to be defending the grain deal, nothing about that. It was said only that Russian side wants to be among the inspection and they want to be the guys who would be checking the vessels coming and going through Istanbul if there are weapons or not, because they were saying that Ukraine is carrying some weapons in or out with vessels, which is, not
okay.
True.
Okay, so let's move away then from the politics. Ambassador, can I come back to you, Andrei Baklanov, in Moscow? Obviously, since the war began and the special military operation, as Russia likes to call it, began in Ukraine, Russia has also been on a charm offensive to those countries in Africa, for example, who depend a great deal on grain and food security. If you take the grain away or you restrict the grain access, are you or is Russia politically and diplomatically in danger of harming those relations? You yourself have been ambassador to Saudi Arabia. It's not a poor country, it's a rich country, but it also depends on grain from Russia and from Ukraine.
Actually, as far as the practical side of the story, well, with us, it's no problem. We are giving access to the grain transfers, to our grain and to Ukrainian grain. And for, as I told you, these days, this scheme dealing with the Ukrainian grain was going more or less okay. But there was a very strange phenomena, which seems to be a kind of deceiving us. You know, there was a lot of noise and, accusations dealing with the hunger problem in the developing countries. But in turn to be that from 390 ships that went from Black Sea, only 3% went to such country as Somalia, Ethiopia, Yemen, Sudan, and Afghanistan. And the absolute majority of the ships came not to the countries which suffer from hunger, but to the Western Europe. So, well, it's a kind of deceiving. And of course, we're feeling, well, frustrated over the accomplishment of this deal.
OK, let me bring in Steve Matthews, because that is an issue that has actually been raised a few times, certainly from Moscow side. Steve, when grain is transported, whether it be from Ukraine, Russia or anywhere else, there are obviously brokers, there are obviously ports. It has to be then subdivided off, I presume, to then head off into other countries. This accusation being made by Moscow, and again, without being political, how does grain move and how does it get to the countries like Somalia, Afghanistan, Yemen, where it's needed most? Is it transported onto other ships?
Well, yes. Again, it's a global market. So the fact that grain maybe went somewhere other than where it was immediately needed does not necessarily imply any sort of negative outcome, namely that if it were sent places that were less efficient, the price would be affected less by that movement, if you understand what I mean. Now, price is up currently 6.4% today for wheat globally. And that is a very significant move. That is a that's not a normal daily move of the price of wheat, and that is bad news for people who are depending on wheat supplies to get through the winter or to get through the next year or so. The global backdrop is tight. We have the tightest stocks to use ratio, which is a way that people track this: how much do you have versus how much do you use? The tightest ratio since 2008, and so things like this don't help. Let's put it that way. Australia was too wet this year during the harvest season. Europe had a heat wave. India had a heat wave. The U.S. has too dry right now for planting. We've got a number of problems in the wheat market, and the last thing we need is for less grain to flow out of the Black Sea.
Marshall, I can see you nodding. I'll come back to you in a moment, because I just want to take a pause and give both our guests and our viewers at home an idea of the context of all of this. Because in July, I spoke to the UN Secretary General when he signed that deal on one of our news hours. Antonio Guterres believed that Russia and Ukraine would honour their commitments.
Of course, there is a matter of trust. Things need to go well for them to be able to continue. But we will do everything in our capacity to make sure that things go well. And we will be there all the time in the inspections, in the coordination center, together with Turkey, with the objective to guarantee that the parties will abide by what was signed today.
Antonio Guterres speaking to me there in July. We'll have more of him in a moment. I mean, Steve, can I come back to you? Because reputation and deals, as we've seen, can affect financial markets. One misspoken word and millions can be lost or gained. Prices can soar. How closely, in your opinion, speaking to your colleagues in this area of the financial markets, are they listening to what Kyiv, Moscow, and especially what the UN Secretary General is saying?
I would say very closely, because this was a material agreement that caused large amounts of grain to move successfully through the Black Sea, where it had not been moving before since March or February. So as people are trying to decide what to pay for wheat, they take these statements and action on the water into very much into account.
Let me just bring in Andrei Balkhanov, and we just changed slight methodology here, Mr. Balkhanov. 9 million tonnes, as was mentioned in various news reports and by Marsh, has been moved so far in the agreement, which has to be renewed on November the 19th. Could this actually be a point of bargaining for Moscow as we lead up to the 19th of November? As you say, there are issues with the agreement that Moscow is not happy with. What needs to change, do you think, for that agreement to be renewed on the 19th of November?
Well, actually, I think that one point is missing in the overall scheme. This is the point dealing with the monitoring mechanism. The mechanism is developing at very strange dimensions, you know. and we cannot control it. And when we have concrete data, what are the real results? The results are very far from what was envisaged at first. So I think that if you have the opportunity to repair this mechanism, we must start from the problem of establishing a kind of monitoring, just to make sure that each day everything is developing in due manner as we agreed upon.
Okay.
Otherwise, the agreement will not be fulfilled.
Marsha Velikova in Dnipro. Let's just talk about renewal of the agreement. We've had 4 months, nearly 4 months, actually, of grain movements out of Ukraine unhindered. Over 9 million tonnes has moved, a small amount in comparison to what there is still in storage. Give us an idea of how much grain is still or needs to be moved from Ukraine at the moment. What sort of problems do the Ukrainian authorities having trying to get that grain over to the ports for its movement?
Well, it's pretty hard to manage how much, just a lot, because we were just moving the stocks mostly, and from this 9 million tons of grains and oil, and also oils as well, part of that is just from the old stock, but we have a new crop, and only for wheat we have 19 million tons of wheat, new crop. And from that number, around 11, 12 million tons that can be exported. For corn, we have an estimation of 26, 27 million tons for now. And 20 million tons of that is what can be exported. We also have around 2 million tons for barley. We also have a lot of sun seeds. I don't really have the number right now in my head, but it's also a few million tons. So we
the stakes
have
are
a
high.
Lot.
The stakes are high. The stakes are high, then, aren't they? The stakes are high for Ukraine.
Yes, the stocks are high for Ukraine. Yes, that's right. And if the deal would not be continued, of course, we still have some ways how we can move that grain out of Ukraine. But the capacity is just much lower.
Okay.
We can make something like 2.5 million tons per month.
So the stakes are high, not only for producers, but also politically. Let's just bring in more of what the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said to me about the grain deal back in July.
It is obvious that there is nervousness, there is lack of trust. But this is not the first experience we have with Ukrainians and Russians in relation to the UN mediation. We had, if you remember, and it was also agreed in the same context of my visit to President Putin and President Zelensky, the evacuation of civilians from Azovstal. For months, people said it was impossible. For months, all kinds of attempts failed. But when there was an operation with a clear coordination with the UN, at the time the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the Russians and the Ukrainians, it happened, and it happened successfully, and the commitments were respected. And I have no reason to doubt that today, with the same kind of attitude, we can do this. This is, of course, a major achievement. I would say it's an unprecedented agreement. And for me, as Secretary General of the United Nations, I have no doubt to tell you that this was the most important thing I have contributed to during my tenure as Secretary General.
Yes, unprecedented times and a reputation on the line, certainly for the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. Mr. Baklanov in Moscow, the actual Secretary General has delayed his trip for a very important Arab League meeting in Algiers to oversee discussions with what is described by his spokesman as a senior at the highest levels. I wondered who would the highest levels be. Is he speaking to President Putin or the Foreign Minister Lavrov? What's your impression of who he is talking to?
Well, actually, quite recently, a few days ago, we discussed these problems in Valdai Forum, International Valdai Forum, with the participation of the President, what is the special minister of foreign affairs and our major specialist, including specialists on grain problems and international grain problems. And we came to the conclusion that the role which belongs to the UN is rather big, but the efficiency of the Secretary General himself as a personality and the efficiency of those who are working for the UN, far from we have expected. So honestly speaking, we doubt that in the days to come, this can be, amended, and the UN will play the role it should have in real terms.
Okay, let's bring in Steve Matthews there in New York. Obviously, 19th of November is an important date, Steve. In terms of the markets and in terms of analysts, what are you looking to hear? I mean, we talked about this just at the beginning of the programme, but obviously the UN Secretary-General has a very small window of opportunity to make things move again and to keep both sides happy.
I don't entirely agree with the idea that there's a small window. At any time, these sides can agree to allow this grain to move again. And of course, it's important for global grain markets that that happen. As I've said before, the global grain market is in a very tight situation. A little bit of historical background. The post-Soviet grain, the growth in the agricultural industry in the post-Soviet territories has been nothing short of a miracle since 1990, 91, 92. And the growing populations of North Africa and the Middle East have come to depend on that flow of grain through the Black Sea, through the Bosphorus, and across the Mediterranean. And any interruption to that is basically reversing 30 years of development. So it's something to keep in mind when we're looking at the idea that this is something that can be blocked and unblocked almost at will when the parties decide to agree or not agree. Yeah. So traders will be watching very closely to see what happens on November 19th, that's for sure. But simply because something doesn't happen or does happen on the 19th doesn't mean it can't happen later or earlier.
Mr. Balkhanov, can I just come back to you? You have very good relationships with Saudi Arabia. You were the former ambassador to the country. And I just want to bring in a report that was published in February of this year where the Saudi Arabian state grain buyer, SAGO are the initials for it, said that it agreed to import 355,000 tonnes of grain from its Saudi-owned farms in Ukraine. Obviously, countries indirectly are affected by what's going on in Ukraine, and you have very close relationships as a country. While you're not a diplomat right now, sir, does that put a strain on Riyadh and Moscow relationships as this scenario unfolds, as the war continues in Ukraine?
We discuss in details and very frankly all these problems with our Saudi friends. Ukrainian problem. You know, it's due to our understanding, the whole problem about the export of Ukraine is a little bit exaggerated because this role objectively is rather limited. It's less than 1% of the overall export of grain on the world. Our point, we are ready now to give free of charge additionally to the countries of the East, 500,000 tons free of charge. And we also are giving free of charge a lot of our fertilizers. But what is necessary, it's very easy to understand. It's necessary to unblock and annihilate the limitations on our exports due to the sanctions practice of the West. This is number one problem. If this is lifted, everything will be much easier to deal with, including Saudi Arabia, giving more opportunities to have our grain.
Okay, well, we'll see what does happen. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I think it's a conversation we'll have to have again in the days ahead, and I'm sure we will hear on Inside Story. But I would like to thank all of my guests, Andrei Maklanov, Steve Matthews and Marsha Belikova, for joining us on this edition. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter, and there we're at AJ Inside Story. From me, Sahil Rahman, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks very much for your time and your company.